the one pressing item I've got is on farm tactics. We've got the usual every 4 years option paper on whether we send a legislative package, whether we let our views be known quietly to the committee, those kinds of alternatives.
What does it say?
Let me get back here to where people choose up sides.
You can choose up sides.
Butts and a lot of other people all favor a transitional program, so-called, as a desired substantive result of this year's legislation. What that means, in effect, is not a formal bill, but a...
I would tilt that way, too. Let me say on the farm issue, a formal bill is all we'll have to do. You're not going to get through. What I mean is, if I have a farm bill, I know it's right to do so, and you say, what the hell, you won the election, why don't you do it? And the answer's been in the Congress.
Yeah.
So, well, John, I think it's the purer way, the cleaner way, I don't know if people say, put up a farm bill and change all these programs and the rest, but it's just pissing in the wind, and we just better not get the farmers around.
Now, Butts's idea is to go for a four-year phasing to reach the cropland basis, which would, in effect, get us on a sounder basis, remove some of the supports over a period of 4 years so these guys could plan on it. And he's willing to go up and fight for that, try and get it. I think we ought to let him try.
Sure. Oh, sure.
The effort to
let
move
Butts
it.
Try his way is what hard thing, but I don't think a formal farm, I should just say we're consulting with the Congress. This is one of those areas which is peculiarly particularly requires congressional consultation and support.
Right.
And to be quite honest about it, I'd say we have found it, as we found before, that the most effective way to work with the Agriculture Committee is to work in partnership with the Congress rather than to send it out. And that's what they prefer, and that's what Secretary Butts has recommended.
Okay.
And so we will have a bill, but only after consultation.
And then it'll be a committee bill which we'll support.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And we'll publicly state our position at the time we have one.
Sure.
Okay. Great. Well, that's the only thing that immediately...
What about the grain?
All right. If you'd like to get into that...
I think this... I really don't feel myself... I thought about it. I've been doing a lot of thinking about it. I think we had better take a known quantity with weaknesses that we're aware of in this particular area. And to try to take somebody else. Grain is oil. I realize he's weak in some areas. I realize there'll be some confirmation problem, but let's look at that for just a moment. Maybe it's just as well to have Gray get up there and have him beat him over the head about Watergate and have him say what the hell he's done.
Well, he's prepared to do that. I've been over this today with John Dean to see what he says the problems will be. Says it will be a very long, very tough confirmation, and will be an opportunity for a different set of senators to get into the Watergate than the Irvin group.
Yeah.
It'll be the Tunneys and the Kennedys and the Baez and so on. But recognizing that, Gray tells a very good story. And
he tells basically the story that I think of, because, look, the main problem with Watergate are not the facts. Sure, the facts will be this and that and the other thing. The main problem is the cover-up.
Yeah.
Now, then, we just can't have appearance of cover-up. And I think we can simply say that, yes, that we want and let him get up there. You see, if you kick him upstairs to the circuit court and say that we're afraid of him, there's no way they'll get around, it'll look like a cover-up. It does get appearance, and it gets Kennedy and Tony and the rest. So they go after Gray. Gray, it seems to me, makes a rather good impression. No, I haven't seen him on television, does he?
Reasonably good. He's very earnest.
Yeah.
He's tall. Very square corners.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a retired Navy captain. He's vulnerable, according to John's analysis. He's vulnerable to two counts. One is whether or not he handled Watergate adequately. And John says, I think he'll acquit himself very nicely there.
He does.
The other is his stewardship of the Bureau over the period of the last 8 months.
Yeah.
There, John says, the established bureaucracy of the Bureau will be feeding all kinds of garbage to the committee.
Yeah.
And Gray will be on the defensive. So he says we're liable to be in for a few surprises on other cases or the handling of other matters or things of that kind that are incalculable right now. But he said he doesn't think that he is in serious jeopardy, and on balance he thinks Gray is, as you say, a known quantity. He is a guy that we can tell to do things and he will do them. Now, he's been a little weak on that because of this. He's been afraid of what he had to face at the time of confirmation. John says...
Unless he's confirmed.
He thinks if... If, but only if, you call Gray over and you read him chapter and verse and you say, Pat, he says you. He says you. Now, I can do this, but he said you. You would say, Pat, I had an arrangement with J. Edgar Hoover that up till now I have not had with you and I've missed it. Once you're confirmed, I want it understood that we go back to a personal relationship that when I call, you respond, and that we have to have an absolutely tight relationship.
Well, how do we get it so that not only I call, but you call?
Well, then you could delegate that and go from there. As it is now, John says we made a mistake in the inception in not tying him down tight enough. But we did it for a number of reasons. He was contingent, and we had this thing hanging up. And he's tracked reasonably well. Now, he has some guilty knowledge in connection with the Watergate that only Dean and I know about that has to do with Hunt. We turned some stuff over to Gray to get it out of here. That'll never come out. He'll never testify to that. There's any way that he could testify to that. Well, it just isn't necessary. There's no way for anybody to know. And that he understands that set of circumstances never happened. And it's never appeared, never come out.
Where are the files?
I don't know where he's gone, but he's gone. We felt that we wanted to be in a position to say we had turned everything over to the FBI. So I called him up to my office one day, and we said, Pat, here's a big fat envelope.
What is this stuff that Hunt did on that case in California?
Well, no, it's other stuff. And Dean's never told me what was in the envelope.
I don't know, but Hunt dealt with my
stuff. Well, he must have been in a hell of a lot of stuff.
And doing some things.
He did some things for Chuck, apparently, that he made record of.
Was that this envelope?
Yeah.
That Chuck made record
of? No, that Hunt did.
How did you get Hunt's stuff?
Well, we opened his safe. See, Dean took everything out of his safe. We turned everything over to FBI agents who came for it, except this envelope full of stuff. And then I called Greg in my office. Dean came in. I said, Pat, here's an envelope. We want to be in a position to say we've turned everything over to the FBI, so we're giving it to you. I don't care what you do with it, as long as it never appears.
Suppose that they ask him about other activities.
Presumably, he says, I honestly don't know of any, because maybe he never opened the envelope. He was smart, he didn't.
I don't want to get into that with him.
I understand.
I avoid that.
But I want you to know about it. At some point in time, if you haven't already, Bob or I or John Dean or somebody, I'll give you a rundown on how this urban hearing is going to go, the kinds of things that are liable to come smoking up so you're not surprised. But we think there's a reasonably good possibility of coming through it very much like we've come through the trial with a certain amount of day-to-day flack and even television stuff, but no lasting results.
Well, I suppose it all is dependent. I talked to Bob a little about it in case there would be some deal, but I suppose, John, it depends. See, if you feel like you came back to California, right? But really, the problem is that one of these guys are crap.
Sure. Magruder could really hurt in a different direction.
Well, Magruder, if he cracks, goes to prison.
Yes.
All right, unless he takes the immunity, is that what he would do?
Possibly. Possibly. There are several of these guys that we rely on. Sloan is not a problem.
He doesn't know anything.
But Magruder is a problem.
Magruder knows a hell of a lot, right? Let's face it. Did Magruder hurt himself?
Yep.
Or did he?
I don't know. Sure did.
But I think he, from what I've heard, he must have.
Sure did.
He said he was not involved, he didn't have a knowledge, and he did, is that right?
Basically, that's right, yeah.
But beyond that, beyond Magruder, who the hell else murdered himself? Mitchell?
I assume so, without knowing. The thing has a very good chance. If it's handled right, we cut our losses here, cut our losses there. Try and shore up our finger here and there. Build some backfires and so on.
What I heard, that's true. And I am not going to be taken by surprise by anything.
Okay.
Well, when I say that, I mean the real problems that I see basically are whether it, to the extent that it ties into the White House staff. I'm just thinking it's fortunate all that church service and everything else. You know, at least I've never met him in Steve. I don't ever met Hunt. Never talked to him. And haven't discussed these things, fortunately.
I've met Hunt once. Never.
I knew it was something. I mean, this is a great operation, Mr. Hunt, or Colson in areas other than Watergate, but purely political stuff.
Yeah,
which is perfectly legal.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I think they did some work on Teddy Kennedy or something. That's in the paper. Program.
Did some investigating.
Yeah.
The only reason I raise it at this point is because the handling of Gray in other hands, Eastland and his group, could go in an unpredictable direction. I just don't know. And so that's the one lingering hazard. Now, the other prime candidate is Henry Peterson, the criminal deputy, and he's in just as bad shape.
Oh, Christ.
You know, and without the ties that Gray has.
He wouldn't care what happened to us.
Ruckel's house is a possibility. There's one other fellow named Vernon Acree, who's the head of customs, who's a possibility. But that's about
the great thing about the spread is our secret pipe gives two Watergate hearings.
That's right.
When Gray would not be called before the Irving Committee.
No, well, he could be, but never probably be. Wouldn't be. So it's sort of double indemnity. There's a double
hearing.
It really is.
Just don't have a strong man of loyalists.
Well, yeah, that's it. We've combed, you know, as about as well as we can. Let me come at it from another side. We had the idea of nominating Maury Sands for a confirmable
person.
The thought there is to pull off some of the poison, to air it in another proceeding. Maury's pretty clean. He tells a good story. He's righteously indignant. So nominate. Get him up before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee or some other committee. Let them ask him about campaign financing. Let him tell his story and be vindicated in that process. Pretty good collateral action. I'm inclined to think that there's some of that in the Gray. The case could be made that the Gray thing would do the same thing. You'd have papers say, gee, now that he's told the whole story, that was a hell of an investigation. And the administration really did turn over everything.
Well, for example, they'll ask, did you investigate the administration from Holloway? Did
you? No. Yeah, the Bureau member did. Not, at least not that I know of.
What did they get one from you?
Oh, we got two from me.
Colson?
Sure.
Why not?
They just never led to him. If they wanted to, he was available.
And that's what he would say.
Yeah.
Sure, but I
there. No cost.
I think I'd send him up. I'd simply send him up.
Okay.
You know, we constantly get this story repeated, John, which I'm repeating a little bit. The Nixon administration's program of investigating domestic subversive groups, as you know, that got that thing started. You know what I mean? It's in the Watergate story this morning. That thing started, as you know, years ago, and reached its peak under Bobby Kennedy.
Or the tax and stuff. Yeah, sure.
And that those became available to Hunt.
Yeah.
I don't know how they ever become available.
They didn't. They didn't. They
didn't. Sure?
Yes, sir.
Those were available to you, as I recall.
But there was never any connection between Dave Young's leak operation.
staying young.
Yeah. See, and then that's where they tied in. Now, we had Hunt working 4 days young for a brief period of time. And what he was doing down there was simply a job of analysis. He was taking all those leaks and matching them up to see where the commonality among them was to try and determine which documents they came from.
We had to check that.
Oh, well, of course. But he never got tap material from any of that.
Did Dave Young get it?
Dave Young never got any of this domestic tap stuff. I got some of it. Bob got a lot of it. Bob got most of it. I'm not aware that anybody else ever did. Assume it's in the readings.
I want you to go see her.
All right.
See it. President, is Rosie already raised this with me that way? At first, there's, that she's not in a job, that I, that we're completely on top of, we must make her feel ashamed.
Good, I'd love to.
And say, Rose, if you don't raise this with me, I told you. Well, President raised this 2 weeks ago with me. We're trying to, because, Pat, we've had to reorganize this department, we don't reorganize this, we move with all the rest. And I go on to say, we thought, he mentioned the labor department first, be an opening. And, now actions, and the peace corps, all that stuff.
That's right. She'll run right into the ground.
Why?
Well, just because she's not a gung-ho aggressive administrator. It'll be a, and she'll do what we ask her to. It's kind of a kiss of death for action, in a way.
It should be run into the ground. What is it, VISTA, we still have VISTA?
VISTA, the grandparents program.
Well, let's keep that one.
There's five or six of them over there.
They're good over there.
Yeah, and well, two, VISTA's no good, and peace corps is no good.
VISTA should go.
But the others are perfectly, you know, foster home and space.
Sure. I would flush the peace corps at VISTA. And I would put, but rather than cutting the money, I'd put it all over the others.
Well.
Why don't you do that?
It's what I've talked to her about, that you don't like either of those two, that we feel are not cost effective. And that she should come to us with some constructive suggestions of what else action could do instead.
Either what else I could do, or get improved programs, and double the money for them.
All right.
Why not?
All right.
Double the money for her, or find another new one.
All right.
I'm all for it. Is she willing to?
She's amenable to that.
She willing to take it?
Yeah, but, oh yeah, she wants it badly.
What the hell did Rose write in the memorandum then?
Because she thinks that the dirty old White House staff is taking advantage of RML, and she won't get the job.
Well, you tell her I raised it. Well, and then you, that we, that he's not going to say that you recommended action, and I said, mine. You've been talking to her about it, it's a promotion, so that she gets her own agency.
See, I
as you well know, of course, I just think she's a great gal. But,
we don't want another Blatchford over there who's going to be tearing up the peace and trying to expand that empire.
Sure, we'll just talk about it. But keep where it is. I'd like to see action right at the same level of funding, Tom. Don't cut the money out there. Not much.
I get much anyway.
But put the Peace Corps money, the VISTA money, let's put it in foster grandparents. Just say this program, it works. Put it in something where youth can participate. Of course, you got to find something for youth, yep. Not something that's. Okay, you know what I mean. I'm telling you what to do. Maybe she can find something better. But not a moon dog.
There's a pretty good guy over there, his deputy, who will run it, make sure all the bills get paid and all that stuff.
You know, I want to talk to you about tomorrow on another subject. I think that Bob is getting a bad rap in the Taylor town. So
yep.
I don't know how the hell that developed. Apparently, Rose raised that point with somebody. And her. You know how everybody's cutting each other up around. But that's got to stop. Because when I say Bob, he's better. But I think there are a couple of things that he might do. Look, I don't think that'd give one man, you know, he's got a thick skin. But from a personal standpoint, he doesn't deserve it to be rapping. And second, he could be more effective. And frankly, defuse some of these things with a couple of gestures, in my opinion. I'll talk to you about it.
All right.
You probably got some problems.
I have. And
I just don't think it's good for Bob to get the strong editor at it.
Right.
probably you could take a deputy and sort of have the, you know, be the nice guy. And he needs one, see how it's going. Now, one of his major problems, and there's no problem with me, that's why I understand the resolution, prepared an enormous amount, is, second bridge here.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, John, we've got to face the fact that it is enormously common, but totally disliked throughout the place.
Yeah.
You keep it in Bob. Bob has safety call. Bob has people go over to the rest. And an individual very close to him. Bob needs a bull rather than a,
yeah.
You see my point?
Yeah.
You agree with
me? I see that.
I don't question the confidence, but you cannot take a...
It's all very bare to the bone. It's kind of...
He comes in. It's a... This is not based on grocery.
No, I understand.
But I want you to think about that.
All right.
And to Bob some good, he just passed. You just got to put somebody around him there.
Soften it up.
Because maybe he's a bright, brash... no nonsense, give an order, don't do it that way. You do it by bulldoze, it's all shit, bull stuff, he gets it done.
Yeah, I found him. Okay, I think that is fine, without
saying. He's changed his thing very nicely, right? Take the tailor from the restaurant. I didn't smile, is there anything about that? I don't give a damn what's in the detail, couldn't care less.
Wow.
Bob is the tailor should stay on her, I told him. Basically because it's health problem. And,
you don't want to say it on
an emotional.
You know, Bob Taylor came to me 6 months ago, said he wanted to leave, and asked me if I could help him get him a job outside.
You can't get it. Why did Dennis Taylor talk to him?
I don't know that he is.
Who is?
I don't know. I think the guy's in the service, sir. That'd be my guess.
Why would they be talking to him?
Because they think he's been jobbed, because Taylor hasn't told anybody that he's been out looking. He's been very, in fact, he hasn't talked to anybody but me about it. I told Ziegler about this today so that he could start to move that.
You can't talk. Good God. I think Duncan's the man to be the head of the Secret Service. But I can't put him there yet.
Yeah.
And so he felt, in fact, he didn't even have the details for our time. It's perfect. But they understand that he can't, that he had to jump to many people,
yeah.
So he wanted to go.
He's very sensitive about it. I know.
All right.
It's a mess. Damn thing's a mess. Just because these guys are so sensitive of each other. You know, it's a very, very tight little family. But it's a bum rap. And I know this because I know
my mind. And about the letting down the barriers and the rest, that's kind of a joke around me. Of course, the Secret Service likes to keep barriers. I am the one that wants the barriers.
Matter of fact,
the idea of the letting down, you know, the time for it is officious for a so-called quote, spontaneous end.
That incident happened, but it didn't happen in Providence, and it didn't happen to Bob. That happened between Taylor and Chapin, and it happened in New York, and I was a witness to it. But Bob was never involved in that. So it's a bonus of brass.
Did Chapin
reach out? Well, he and Taylor squared off on this. Taylor said, if you guys do that, I'm going to have to put him in jail, which is the way that story ran.
Yeah, well,
Chapin sort of considered the boss man. Yeah, but that was, you see, weeks before the Providence. That's what I'm saying, weeks before Taylor was let go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a bum deal. All of Providence, we've got to keep it all in perspective. Let me tell you, well, the over, you know what people are talking about? They're not talking about the message on the environment, the Secret Service, talking about you going to dinner. POWs. But I tell you, you're softening things nicely with some of these things you're doing in the family. They're a little bit helps in that direction.
I've done it in the kitchen.
Wasn't that like a lot of attention last night? Isn't that a funny gal? It's a good thing.